Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. I am really excited to talk to you guys about this topic this week. This is actually what I planned to talk to you guys about last week, if you remember me saying that at the beginning of the episode. I've had this topic on my list for a really long time, and for some reason, I just keep pushing it back and pushing it back, and we are finally talking about it this week. We are talking about what a sinking fund is and why you need one. And so I posted a couple days ago on my Instagram and my Facebook a little flow chart of how we kind of disperse our money on payday and how it gets direct deposited into our bills account. We pay our bills. We only leave enough to pay our bills plus a buffer of $10. And then we transfer over our spending money to our spending account. And then anything left over goes to savings because we don't have any debt. And if we did, it would go to our debt, obviously, at that point. And then I talked about how we kind of disperse our savings a little farther, and that goes into your emergency fund, your sinking fund, and what I call your next goal fund, like if you're planning to cash flow something big, which some people even include in their sinking fund. Anyway, if you haven't heard me talk about this in more detail, I am going to link in the show notes to the episode where I talk about how to organize your bank accounts and what I recommend. And this has been so, so helpful to a lot of people. And so I'm always really excited to share the way that we organize our accounts because it was just really a game changer for us. And it has been for so many people that I've shared it with. So if you're not familiar with that, jump over in the show notes and check out that episode of the podcast where I break it down even farther. And if you really want some help, of course, you can always join my full budgeting course, Your Sunny Money Method, which is also going to be linked in the show notes. And of course, in my budgeting course, I go into much farther detail on every aspect of budgeting, sinking funds included. So we are going to talk about what sinking funds are. When I posted this about how we organize our bank accounts the other day, a lot of people were, for one, like, oh my gosh, I love the visual. I love the way you break it down. I love the way you organize it. But the second biggest comments were, what in the world is a sinking fund? What does that mean? What does it include? And I hear this all the time. So I'm really, really excited to talk about it. So essentially, what a sinking fund is what I consider kind of your best friend, like your secret weapon in your budget. And it's the one thing that a lot of people overlook. And it's something that I think really can break an otherwise well done budget. And, you know, a lot of people will just completely skip this and they let these little expenses like sneak up on them and ruin this budget they worked really hard on. And I don't want that to happen to you. So I want to really explain this and let me know if you guys have any questions. Of course, you can always hit me up on Instagram or Facebook with any questions that you have any farther on this topic. But basically, a sinking fund is an account where you include all of those kind of non-regular expenses that oftentimes get forgotten. So these can be things like large purchases. For us, I kind of like to keep this completely separate in a completely separate savings account, but it is something that you can include as a sinking fund. So this is like a large purchase, which I'm going to go farther into all of these examples here in a little bit, but like a car or a vacation or something really expensive like that, that a lot of people would otherwise have to finance or put on a credit card or something. It can also include overlooked annual expenses or quarterly expenses, those things that you don't pay every single month. So they kind of creep up on you or you forget about them and things like that, or other kinds of unexpected events or holidays or things like that. So some people ask, why is it even called a sinking fund? And I went back in my Facebook group and I was searching for all these questions and comments and threads that had came up about sinking funds to make sure that I was really covering everything that you guys had questions and comments about. So some questions I saw coming up were, why are they even called sinking funds? And it's basically the idea of you're sinking something in little by little and contributing to it, and then it kind of piles up over time. At least that's kind of how I think of it. So another question that I saw coming up was, how would you recommend budgeting for those kind of miscellaneous expenses that are unexpected but also necessary? Like, they're not really just a frivolous want. Like, you need them, but they feel so random and they feel so unexpected. And, you know, this is where you're kind of feeling like, well, you know, you're doing really well sticking to your budget in terms of like you're paying your bills on time. You're even remembering to give yourself a little fun money, a little wiggle room there in your budget. But these unexpected things keep coming up and they're just kind of tripping you up, and you know, they're just kind of ruining your budget. And, you know, a lot of us, especially as parents, we feel like these random field trips, or your kid hits a growth spurt and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to buy them all new shoes and all new jeans. And the other kid has an extracurricular they're in. And then, you know, a kid is sick or they need medication, or all of a sudden they need glasses. I didn't budget in like a $200 pair of glasses. You know, your car needs a repair, something like these are not just frivolous things. Obviously, we need these things. And when these things come up, we don't have them in a normal monthly or biweekly budget, right? We don't have them in our normal budget. And this is the time a lot of people will freak out. They'll grab their credit card because that's what they're used to. Like, that's their comfort zone. That's their security blanket. They'll grab that credit card and they'll go put, you know, a pair of glasses or a new pair of shoes for your kid or something, or they'll tap into their emergency fund and break into that savings account that they're not supposed to be breaking into, right? And we definitely don't want that. And these things, like I said, these things happen. They're not frivolous. They're completely necessary. So we have to give them a spot in our budget. And this should be on top of your emergency fund. This is not your emergency fund, because these things aren't truly emergencies. Like, we know our kids are going to grow. We know that we're going to get sick. We know that eventually we'll need new tires. Eventually it will be Christmas. We know when our kids' birthdays are, you know, all these things. These aren't true emergencies. They're just a little unpredictable. Obviously, a birthday is not unpredictable, but you know what I mean. And some people will even use their sinking fund as a, oops, I forgot to budget for that. And they just kind of grab from that rather than grabbing from their emergency fund, because they feel like it's not a true emergency. It's not a life or death situation, but hey, I need money for it, right? So it's just kind of like, to me, it feels like a big miscellaneous account, a big miscellaneous fund, right? So let's talk about some of those examples of types of expenses that belong in the sinking fund. And grab a notebook or the notes in your phone if you need to kind of jot some of these down. And I'm going to include some of these in the show notes as well, because I know it's hard when you're listening to kind of retain every single example. And also take some of these with a grain of salt. These are not ironclad. Not every single family needs a fund for every single thing. And there might be something that you need to include in your sinking fund that I don't list, because it's really specific to your family, okay? So don't take these as like gospel truth, ironclad. These are the categories you have to have. These are just examples, kind of a guideline to help you know the sorts of things that need to go in here. So, like I mentioned, large purchases. So this is if you want to cash flow a new car. This is how people do it. right? They have a place for it in their budget. I even go as far to have a completely separate next goal fund, which I include because we are at the phase in our financial journey where we are cash flowing vehicles. We have cash flowed two vehicles and our camper and our boat at this point in our journey. And so those are large purchases. So that doesn't happen on accident, right? That's something that you need a specific place in your budget for. You need a specific plan for. And, you know, it needs to be included somewhere. And if you're really at the beginning of your journey and you're like, I know that, you know, in maybe a year or two, I'm going to need to kind of upgrade my vehicle because it is kind of on its last leg, but it's not right this second. This is a place where you can start contributing little by little to it, which we'll talk about in a minute, the types of ways we go about contributing. This can also be, you know that you want to go on a vacation or you have an event coming up that you want to go to that's going to cost you a good chunk of money, or even cash flowing something like a new computer or a new phone. You know, those things are pretty expensive and in most cases, pretty necessary for our life. Not an emergency, but it's not necessarily frivolous to have a computer or a phone. Maybe not a brand new like $1,000 iPhone or something, but in most cases, we need some sort of phone, right? So if your phone was to completely break, you would need to get a new one. So be realistic about that and know that that needs a place in your budget. There's other things like holidays and birthdays. You know, Christmas is not an emergency. You probably heard a lot of people say this around Christmas time. It's not an emergency. It's not something that needs to go on a credit card. It's not something that needs to ruin the rest of your budget. It's something that it's always December 25th. You know when it's coming. Plan for it. Give it a place in your budget. The same thing with any other holidays, like Halloween, if you let your kids dress up or you buy a lot of candy to hand out to trick-or-treaters. You know, we usually budget in about $100 total for costumes and stuff. And $100 can make a big difference in your regular spending budget if you forget about it. Or Easter or Hanukkah or anything else that you give presents for, or you would like your kids to get a new outfit to dress up for church or something like that, needs to go in the budget. Family birthdays, your birthday, your spouse's birthday, your anniversary, your kids' birthdays, your friends, their friends, your coworkers, you know, whoever you would buy a gift for, even if you would just buy them like a $5 like bouquet of flowers or box of candy or like a 50 cent card, you know, add that up. If you're buying 20 50 cent cards, $10 is gonna make a difference, right? You don't have to be super, super specific, but give yourself a spot where you're like, you know, a couple months from now, oh, I really wish I had $10 to buy so-and-so a gift. That's where you can grab it from, your gift fund. And this can even be for weddings. A lot of times, you know, we don't know ahead of time if someone's going to get married or have a baby shower or something like that. We don't know 2 years in advance, right? So if one of your friends, surprise, they get married 2 months from now and you want to fly somewhere or you want to send them a nice check or buy them a nice gift, have a place for that in your budget, right? Other expenses that oftentimes get overlooked or just unexpected, things like that. So this can be like irregular bills, things that you pay quarterly or annually. A lot of times we'll forget them because they're not every single month. For us, for example, my husband's company is a union company, so we pay quarterly union dues. So this is something that, like, I need to know that it's going to be in there, and I don't need to forget about it. And other annual things like property taxes, income taxes, insurance. Some people pay their insurance quarterly or annually. Right? Have a place for it. Contribute to it little by little. So you're not just forking out all of the money for your property taxes when the time comes. That's something that you're contributing to an account little by little, right? There's other things like any kind of annual registration or licenses, like if your job requires you to have some kind of certification that you have to renew every year, like my husband's job, he has to be Coast Guard certified. So he has a physical and then every year, and then he has all his different certifications that he has to renew at certain increments and things like that. Or maybe it's your vehicle registration, your inspection stickers, things like that. It can also be things like clothes. For example, we shop for our kids' clothes and our clothes twice a year. We do a spring-summer wardrobe and a fall-winter wardrobe. And that really cuts down on those small, kind of frivolous, we don't really need this kind of clothing purchases. Obviously, there's things that come up if there's an event we need to go to, or like when it's one of my kids' birthdays, I'll usually get them like a new shirt or a dress or something like that special for their birthday. Or if they hit a growth spurt and they have to have some new shoes or new pants or something like that, of course. But that's where that money would come from. But I do plan to shop twice a year, and that's how I budget for it. So I don't know if that helps you. You might have to do it four times a year, depending on what your seasons are like. In Texas, we just have hot and cold. Those are our seasons. So that really works for us. But this can also include things for your pets. This can include health things for your pets, or grooming visits, or chew toys if they go through toys really fast, things like that, as well as health. So this could be visits to your doctor or medicine. For me, I put my monthly medicines just in my regular spending budget, and I just kind of budget them in like I would budget in groceries. But if this is the way you need to do it, or like new glasses, like say you get new glasses every year, or you're kind of saving up for your kids to have braces, or some people even will do like a sinking fund for a new baby or maternity leave or something like that. I would kind of, for me, when we were planning for Melanie for her birth and for my husband to take off extra work and things like that, we kind of kept that separate. We didn't really sync it. We kind of did it as a separate, like a next goal fund kind of way. But to each his own. Like if that's something you want to include, I would say go for it. Plus, there are things like with your kids, I kind of already mentioned this, but activities that your kids are in, extracurriculars, like for our kids, they're in dance. And so I feel like every time I turn around, we're having to pay for something, new shoes or costumes or a new t-shirt or a video or pictures or something. And so I've gotten really good over the years of kind of keeping a running list, so I know how much it costs per kid per year. And I do this as a sinking fund now, which we're going to talk about in a minute, how to kind of keep that list and things like that. But this is where people will be like, oh my, you know, they just sprung this field trip on me and I have 2 weeks and I already did my budget. And now what am I going to do? Things like that. Or school supplies. Like my kid has a science fair project that's due. They're going to need like $30 worth of craft supplies. What do I do? I'm going to have to steal from the grocery budget. This is where that money would come from for things like that. Some people will even do funds for their home repair. Like if you are a homeowner, you know that the maintenance and the upkeep and all of that, that stuff really adds up. Maybe you have HOA fees, or again, with the property taxes or pest control, that stuff is so expensive. Or saving up for furniture repair or appliance repair, you know, you would just have a good place to go for that. You would have this little fund. As well as vehicle maintenance, you know, tires don't last forever. Things need to be fixed. Oil changes need to happen. You know, if maybe you live somewhere where you have to get a toll tag or something like that, where you drive on the toll roads a lot, whatever it is, you know, those things aren't emergencies, but they're completely necessary, right? So you shouldn't have to feel guilty or get stressed out because your kids have to go on a field trip or you need a new tire or you need a new phone or your kids grow and they need new clothes or, oh my gosh, it's Christmas again, right? That this is a place for all of that to go. So I just threw a lot of examples at you and I realized that I did. But like I was kind of saying about the dance class, you guys, you're not going to remember every single thing off the top of your head. And your family is growing and changing every single year. Maybe you're adding things or taking things away or, you know, things like that. It's always changing. So don't worry. Don't expect to be perfect at this if you can't just sit down and off the top of your head name every single thing that needs to be listed in your sinking fund. It's not going to be the end of the world if you miss one or two or even more things, okay? I definitely was not and still am not perfect at this, okay? So what I did when I first started was I just kept a running list, and we're still at the beginning of the year. And this is a really good time. I really kind of wanted this episode to come out a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, life happens. And we are still at the beginning of the year. So it's really easy to start right now, keep a running list as the year goes on. And as something comes up where you have an unexpected field trip or you remember to put in Christmas and your kids' birthdays, but you forget about your nephew's birthday or your coworker's birthday or something kind of more random like that, right? Add it to your list as you go. You know, maybe you do have to steal $10 or $20 from your grocery budget to buy your nephew a birthday present, but next year you won't have to, right? Because you're going to have it on your list. So you don't have to really stress over this. It's just keep a running list. If you have records, if you've been really good about tracking your spending, or you use a debit card for your spending, or even a credit card for your spending, go back in your records and try to look for, you know, how much exactly did I spend on clothes last year? Or how much exactly did, like for us, I went back and I was like, how much exactly did I spend on dance costumes? Because I kind of forgot to keep a running list. Or with my girls, this is Melanie's first year. So last year I just had two girls in and now I have three. So when I was updating my sinking funds, I went back and I kind of had to redo the math, right? Because now I have a third child. So I was going in and I had written, you know, all of the checks for June and Izzy together, right? So I'm paying for two girls' costumes on one check. So I'm like, wait, how much would that be for three? So I'm kind of doing the math and trying to adjust. So I'm going back in my bank records and I'm trying to kind of figure all this out. I hope that makes sense. So I know it's not going to be perfect because this is my first year with three girls, but I'm not really stressed over it because I have somewhat of an idea of how much it'll be. I'm simply going to keep a running list as it goes. And if something else comes up that I wish I'd have money for, I'm going to write it on the list and next year it'll be there. And it's not always going to be perfect, but at least you can be somewhat on top of it, right? And, you know, some people are even super vague on their sinking funds, and they'll just kind of have like a car fund, and it won't specifically say for tires, for oil change, et cetera, et cetera. It'll just say car fund, and they'll just kind of throw money in there, and they'll know that when they need something for their car, that's where they pull it from. For us, I just kind of do one big sinking fund. I have a spreadsheet. I know that X number of dollars needs to go to this. Okay, for example, this next paycheck in our sinking fund, we are paying for June's birthday and our truck registration. And I just have it on a spreadsheet that it's separate. I don't have a completely separate bank account just for June's birthday and just for the truck registration. It's all in one bank account, which we're going to talk about places that you can store your thinking fun in just a minute. There's so many layers to this. So stick with me. But some people are super vague with their sinking fund. They just kind of throw money in it. They just kind of pick an amount. They contribute maybe $100 or $200, $300, whatever it is, every single month to the sinking fund. And they know that if it's a birthday or if it's a car repair, that's where I'm going to pull it from. Other people are very, very detailed with it. They know exactly what they want it to be for. They're very detailed. They have a dollar amount. They divide it by the number of months or the number of pay periods. So you could either like divide it by 12 if you want to contribute every single month, or if you get paid twice a month, you would, you know, divide it by 24 or whatever. For us, we have 18 paychecks a year, which is super random, and we do a 6-week budget, and it's really, really confusing to everyone else. But if we wanted to do that, we could just contribute 18 times a year, right? So you just would make a list, do your total, divide by the number of paydays, and that's where it would go. And you could even have a spot on your budget where you would kind of pay it like a bill, right? So electric bill, $200, sinking fund, $300. And when it's on payday, you would literally just transfer it over to your sinking fund. And it would be as simple as that. But the whole idea is, even if you can't afford to set aside all of that money at first, like if you still have a lot of debt or you're still really trying to beef up your savings, like you're just starting and this is all really overwhelming, and you do the math on your sinking fund and you're like, I can't afford to contribute that much every single month, you can at least start contributing something, something, even if it's not as much as you really want to, because maybe you still are in debt or something like that. But when the bill comes up, at least you'll have some of it, you know, at least you'll be able to cover like half of it or 75% of it or something like that. Maybe it won't be 100% at first, but it'll be better than nothing. You know, if you get to Christmas and you have a couple $100, it'll be better than having $0, right? So you can, you know, add to this fund little by little, maybe every paycheck or every month or whatever makes sense to you. The main goal here is to just be contributing to it throughout the year so these little expenses don't sneak up on you and totally ruin a good budgeting month. You know, think of it as a big miscellaneous fund, right? So I kind of talked about where you can keep your sinking fund. And again, there really is honestly no wrong way to do this. So you can basically store your sinking fund anywhere that you want. You can do it as an actual savings account. You can have a completely separate savings account, or you can have it thrown in the same savings account as your emergency fund if you want to, and just kind of have it earmarked. Some savings accounts are super specific where they're like, you have to have a minimum of $5,000 or they're going to charge you a fee, something like that. So you don't want to kind of have this little like $1,000 savings account over here, whatever the reason. You can keep it separate. You can do the savings accounts together and you just kind of have it earmarked on your budgeting worksheet, what money is what, which we did for a long time. Or you can have a completely separate savings account, or you can have a debit card account, which is what we currently have. We used to have it as a savings account. We used to have it mixed in with our emergency fund. Now we've started doing a debit card account. It's a completely separate debit card account. And that way I have a debit card to it. So it's really easy. Like when I'm Christmas shopping or clothing shopping, it doesn't get mixed up with my spending money, but I'm also able to use my debit card because I do a lot of online shopping. I don't really go out to shop much. I shop like for clothes and stuff online mostly. So that makes it really easy for me. Or you could do cash. A lot of people like to pull out cash every single pay period. They'll keep it in maybe a safe or a fireproof box. kind of as one big lump sum. Some people will even go as far, especially if they already do the envelope system for their spending, they'll do kind of an envelope system for their sinking funds as well. You know, they'll have an envelope just for car maintenance, just for house maintenance. They'll have another one over here for Christmas, and they like to visually see that money kind of piling up. Again, there's no wrong answer here. As long as you're being intentional, planning ahead, you know where your money is, you know how much you want to be in the account, you know how much is in the account, and all that kind of stuff, that is really what is important here. So, again, I think a sinking fund is so, so important. I hope that that wasn't too overwhelming. I know that there's kind of a lot of layers to it, but don't overcomplicate it. Think of it as a big miscellaneous fund. It's not the same as spending, and it's not the same as an emergency fund. It's kind of somewhere in between. It's basically a fund where you will be prepared for those random expenses. You don't have to grab a credit card. You don't have to dig into your savings. There's no wrong or right answer here as far as, you know, how much to put in it, how often, where to keep it, et cetera, which categories to use, all of that. It's really to each his own. So don't be afraid to just pick somewhere and start. Start somewhere with the categories, start somewhere with the amount, start somewhere with where you keep it, and feel free to adjust it over time. If you get a month or two down the road and you're like, this doesn't feel right, or I'm contributing too much or not enough or something like that, change it. You know, it's your money. It's your budget. Do it the way that works for you and makes sense for you. The main goal here is to be contributing throughout the year so those expenses don't sneak up on you and ruin an otherwise really good budget. Okay, especially things like Christmas and birthdays. You guys, you know when they are. And we just are on the tail end of Christmas here. And if you were somebody who had to grab a credit card or dig into your savings, you're probably like, yes, I don't want to do that again. I definitely want to be prepared this year. Okay, this is the way to do it. So I hope that that was helpful to you guys. Again, I'll put some of these examples in the show notes for you guys. So if you weren't able to kind of scribble all my examples down as I was talking, they'll be in the show notes for you. Let me know if you have any questions. I would love to know in the Facebook group or in the comments on Instagram for the post, for this post talking about this episode, which categories you have, and maybe you'll give somebody an idea for something that they hadn't thought of that applies to their life as well. Okay, you guys, please remember to share. This podcast is growing, and I am so appreciative of you guys who are subscribing and leaving reviews and sharing, and I am just forever grateful. Okay, guys, I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.